Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you Mishnah number Dalet and Hey, 4 and 5 of the first parak of Bava Metzia for OU's Mishnayot daily program. Mishnah Dalet starts, Ra'a et ha-Metzia v'nafal aleha uva acher v'hechzikba ze shechzikba zachaba. The first case of the Mishnah presents two people who see an ownerless item, a metzia, literally a find. One guy falls on it, and the other comes after the first guy falls on it and grabs it. The grabber, that is the second guy, is the one who gets ownership of the item. The Mishnah's point here is that falling on an object without taking it into one's hands is much like falling on a fumbled football without taking it into one's hands. It is not enough to define possession, and therefore ownership is not conferred. Now, as it happens, the rabbis, to keep this kind of fighting over unowned items, over hefker items from taking place, made a ruling, a takana, that a person has a kind of force field that extends out 4 amot, or about 6 feet, from his or her person in all direction, and that as soon as any item enters this force field, as it were, so the possession takes place even without a physical grapple for the item. If that's the case, though, if the takana exists, and the takana, the added law does exist, then why doesn't the first guy get the item when he falls on it? That is, it should be his once he moves his force field, as it were, his 4 amot into that area. So there are two possibilities why the guy who fell on it does not get it. One is that by falling on the object without grabbing it, the person is essentially declaring his desire not to take ownership, that he's making an anti-declaration. I don't want this item, I just want to, I guess, keep it from rolling or keeping it from getting away or whatever it is. This is similar to the last Mishnah where the person said, who was up on an animal or a horse or whatever it is, said to the guy who was down below, give it to me, rather than take ownership of it from me. So by using non-possessive words, or here, by using non-possessive actions, by falling on it without grabbing on it, the person is essentially saying he does not want to own the object. The other way of understanding this Mishnah is, as most commentaries prefer, this is an explanation preferred by most, is that this case takes place in the middle of a public place, or Rishut HaRabim, right in the middle of Rishut HaRabim, where the force field law does not apply. That is, the idea that somebody's 4 amot, somebody's force field around them, their area around them, takes possession as soon as you move into that area, that only applies in private areas or on the sides of public areas, because there aren't a lot of people there, but where there's a lot of people walking back and forth, so that law was not enacted in such a situation. And as such, if an unowned object fell into a person's own yard and he fell on it, or even walked close to it, it would become his. And a second person then grabbing it from under him wouldn't change that fact. But in our Mishnah, or at least the first case of our Mishnah, we're in a public area, and grabbing works, but falling on it or coming close to it does not. And while we started talking about ownerless items in a private property, the Mishnah's second case goes on to talk about wild animals that stray into one's private property and how and if ownership can be made on them. Ra'a utan ratzin acharei metzia, achar tzvi shavur, achar gozalot shelo parchu, v'amar zachta li zatzadi, zachata lo. A person, which we'll see can only mean a person in his own fields, sees others running after an unowned item, which could mean an inanimate object, or a lame deer. Now the word or and doesn't show up, but the assumption is these are three separate items, either something that doesn't move, or a lame deer, which can't move because it can't run away easily or at all, or after chickadees that cannot fly away, and the property owner says, my field served to provide me the ownership of that item, the items do in fact become his. He does in fact become the owner. Of course, this is assuming that he could get to the animals before they were able to fly or run away. But Hayat Svi Rats Kedarko Osha Hayu Gozalot Mafrichim Va'amar Zachta Li Sadi Lo Amar Klum. If a deer is fully able to run, or if the chicks can fly, and he says, my fields make me the owner, or confer ownership through my fields of the item, his words are valueless. It's as if he said nothing. Now, while it's not stated in the Mishnah explicitly, it seems to be that even in a case where the deer can run and the chicks can fly, but the person is standing in such a place, that is, the owner of the field is standing in such a place where he can get to the animals before they can flee his fields, his domain, then the fields do indeed confer ownership. That is, it's not the fact that a wild, lame animal can be possessed, but a wild, healthy animal cannot be possessed. Rather, the question is, can the landowner make the pickup? Can he get to the animal before it is able to take off? And if he can theoretically get to the animal, then the field works even if the owner has not yet made the pickup. Another thing which seems to me from the reading of the Mishnah is that if the wild birds are not seen by the field's owner, that is, a visitor comes to somebody else's fields and he sees birds or a deer that is lame, can't get away, and says, I own this, by grabbing it, obviously he can't do it through the fields, but through the field can't make him possess the item or confer ownership because it's not his fields. But if he goes and he grabs the stricken deer, if he goes grabbing the chicks that can't fly, then possession would work in somebody else's field, since the owner himself had not previously declared ownership, neither by hand nor through his fields. Therefore, the second person who is not in his own fields can in fact take ownership of a wild, unowned animal, as long as he does it before the owner makes his declaration. And now, moving on to Mishnah number 5, Mishnah Hay. And I'd like to point out that as we've been noting up to this point, the previous Mishnayot have really been, each Mishnah has been given cases which are trying to determine or give the parameters of which mechanisms create position, such as a command, give it to me, versus the command, take possession for me. The former doesn't work, the latter does. Or whether falling on something works versus grabbing it. Again, the former doesn't work, the latter does work. Whether a person's own fields work as a mechanism, and under what condition they do work as a mechanism. So our Mishnah essentially continues very logically in this vein of trying to figure out what other external items that take possession, or what other external situations give a person ownership besides him simply running over and grabbing it. So what our Mishnah says is that people who are dependent on or quote-unquote belong to another person, then those people become conduits for the possession or the ownership for that person that is their quote-unquote benefactor, I guess, or owner, as we'll see. Mitziat bino uvito hakatanim, and now I'll just skip ahead to say that the Mishnah says, zacha hari elu shelo. So what it means is ownerless items that are found by a man's young son or a man's young daughter are his, i.e. the father's. Now the Gemara specifies that the word katanim here does not mean, which means literally small, does not really mean small. It is not referring to their age. In fact, the Rambam points out that any child 6 years and older, one with knowledge, one with thought, one with the ability to understand what ownership and possession is, so even a child of 6 or older has the ability to take possession of an item for him or herself. Rather, Katan here refers to a child who is still financially dependent on his father. That is, somebody that his father would write off as a dependent on his W-2. Sorry for the anachronism. Now, it doesn't make a difference whether they're 6 years old, whether they're 60 years old. If a father is still claiming a daughter, even an older daughter, as a dependent, as a financial dependent, or a son as a financial dependent, then the father takes ownership of his children's mitziyot, his finds. And this is essentially a rabbinic decree, because the child really can take possession of his own stuff. The rabbinic decree, the rabbis decided to keep the father from feeling bad because their son or daughter is stashing $50 bills or whatever it is, so to keep that tension to keep the father from feeling hatred or negatively towards his children. Therefore, the rabbi said that anything the children possess, as long as they are financially dependent on the father keeps. However, if the child is no longer dependent on the father, even a six-year-old gets to keep his or her own things. Now, I say his or her own things because there is a difference of opinion regarding a young girl. According to the Rambam, among others, a girl's possessions belong to the father until she passes the age of Nara, even if she's independent. That is, when she reaches the status of, only after she graduates from the status of Nara, literally it means a young girl, but actually it's a condition of her age plus her sexual maturity. I'm kind of outside the scope of what we would talk about now. But even if a girl is financially independent, if she's still Nara or younger, according to the Rambam and others, she would still have to give up the goods to her father. father. Others say that there is no difference between a boy and a girl. I believe that's the Meiri, among others. Now, the Mishnah continues on more about people whose possessions are in turn owned by somebody else automatically. A person also takes ownership of the possessions of Mitziot Avdo, V'shivchato HaKna'anim, Mitziat, or Mitziot, Ishto Hari Elu Shalo. So his non-Jewish servants, whether female or male. I prefer to use the word non-Jewish servants rather than non-Jewish slaves for the word Eved, although obviously, you know, calling it what it is, he does own them, and that is why he automatically owns what they pick up. Obviously, this is not a shiur to get into the issue of whether slavery and why slavery was condoned and whether there was a limit set upon it. That's certainly not for now. But saying what it is, a person owns a non-Jewish slave, so any of that slave's positions become that person, the master's, as it were. This also applies to the discovery of a man's wife. And as is similar to the man's children above 6 years old, this seems not to be a Torah law, but a law added by the rabbis to prevent a husband feeling hatred or badly about his wife, who is storing up a private collection. However, mitziot or mitziat bino vito agdolim, mitziat avdov shivchato ha'ivriim, mitziat ishto shigarasha afal pi shelo natan tuvata hari elu shelahen. The fines or the possessions, the things that were in the public domain that were unknown, that came into the possession of a gadol, which in this case, as we said before, doesn't mean a big boy or girl, but it means a financially independent boy or girl, his Jewish indentured female or male servants, and the fines of his wife, who were divorced even before he has paid off the divorce benefits guaranteed by the ketubah. In all these cases, it's their goods. He does not take possession of those items. They take possession. They get the ownership. Now, the Gemara says, interestingly enough, that the issue of the divorcee has to be more complicated than it seems, since it's obvious that a divorcee keeps her own things once she gets her get, regardless of whether the husband has enough money to pay immediately the ketubah or does not have the ability to pay off the insurance guaranteed by the ketubah. So the Gemara says that this case actually referring to a divorce that is in doubt. It's a megureshet ve'eno megureshet. Divorced, yet not divorced. And until the situation is fixed, she's in this quasi-status. Now, the reasons for a divorce that are in doubt are outside the scope of the shiur. They are brought down in many Mishnayot, or at least a few Mishnayot, in Mishnayot Gittin. There are plenty of examples and exactly what a woman can do in the status, what she can't do. All of this is outside the scope of the shiur, but for right now, let's assume that there is such a status. So, even though he is required by law to provide, that is, in a case of megureshet v'eino megureshet, where we're not sure the divorce is active, the man is still responsible to act like a husband and make sure that she is fed, what are called mizonot, which are his responsibility. So you might think, since he is responsible to make sure she stays clothed, fed, etc., etc., so he would take her possessions as if she was still married. So the answer is, it's not true. The possessions stay hers and not his.